Hello again. We're sure glad we can share this time together with you here on A Daily Walk. We've just started a new study in Colossians with Pastor John Randall. As he begins this letter, the Apostle Paul says he was thankful for the church at Colossae, and he also prayed for them too. We'll notice how he prayed for them in a second, and it can serve as a wonderful guide for our prayer lives too. Turn, if you would, to chapter 1, and we'll get underway.
This church had faith, they had hope, and they had love. And Paul said, for that, I'm thankful for you. And they also, he was thankful that they responded to the gospel, which really made faith, hope, and love accessible. He says in verse 5, the latter portion, you heard before the word of the truth of the gospel. When they heard the gospel, they were receptive to the gospel. They responded to the gospel. Of course, you know, as we have mentioned recently, even as early as last Sunday, what the gospel is. It is the good news. It is the good news of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which provides salvation, redemption, forgiveness through his finished work upon the cross to any person who would believe in him, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And notice it says what the gospel produces. They believed in it. And then it says, it's come to you as it has in all the world and is bringing forth fruit as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. There are some important things to mention about the gospel here. Of course, the gospel is centered upon the person of Christ. But Paul also mentions here concerning the gospel, not only is it based upon the person of Christ, but is the truth. And this gospel is the message of God's grace. And this gospel, he says, has gone into all the world. It seems that from Paul's estimation at this point, from where he is at, that the gospel had been taken to the known world of his time. Think about that. That's without TV and satellite and internet and radio and all of the other things that we have access to at the moment. Paul felt like the Great Commission was being fulfilled. The gospel's going out into all the world. You know, the wonderful thing about the gospel, and there are many wonderful things about the gospel, is I have found that the gospel is able to cross all barriers, racial barriers, ethnic barriers, borders of country, language barriers. The gospel is universal. It transcends all of those things, goes beyond those things. Well, they'd never believe the gospel. Why? Well, they don't speak English. They probably would believe it. I mean, they hear the message of the gospel. The gospel is truth built into it. It's God's word, so it saves. It's the power of God unto salvation to those that believe. The gospel is filled with power. And it goes beyond all of these things. Well, we can't really say. Yes, we can share the gospel. That's what's going to save people. It isn't some Western religion, as some would say. It goes beyond every barrier that people set up, and it reaches right into the heart. God so loved who? The world. The world. The message of the gospel is for the world in every context, in every language, every people group, every false religious system that's out there. The gospel is, why do you think some of these countries are fighting so hard against Christianity? Well, what's the problem? Why are you fighting against it? Because it changes people's lives. It changes countries. It saves people. What are you so afraid of? Why are you afraid of the name Jesus? Why are you afraid of the Bible? What is it about it that would cause you to shut everything down and make it illegal? Because there is power attached to it, friend. The power to save. And when the gospel goes forth, I love what Paul says here. It brings forth fruit. If you look throughout history, even to the present time, you see the fruit that the gospel has produced in the lives of people who have embraced it by faith. You could look around this room tonight and the fruit of the gospel is filling this sanctuary. I mean, I'm standing here as a result of the gospel. You're sitting here tonight as a result of the gospel. Your life has been changed because of the gospel. Your marriage has been healed because of the gospel. Your children are growing up in an environment maybe that you didn't grow up in, learning about Christ because of the gospel. Missionaries are being sent out because of the gospel. Churches are being planted because of the gospel. Hospitals are being built because of the gospel. Babies are being saved because of the gospel. That's why we do what we do, because we believe it. It's the truth. The fruit that the gospel produces, it's able to reach across continents, over borders, into the darkest jungles, even to the halls of educational academia that really need the gospel. It has a place there, and it brings forth fruit. And in verse 6, it says, it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. How are people going to know the grace of God in truth unless they hear it? How can they hear it unless someone tells them? They won't. And thus the commission from Jesus to us was to proclaim the gospel, to not be ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God unto salvation. And the gospel is as powerful as it's ever been. You remember Paul said, Romans 1:16, you know this passage, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Don't let anybody tell you that the gospel is not sufficient. Don't let anybody lead you to believe it doesn't work anymore. It's the power of God unto salvation to everybody who believes. As Paul continues in the opening of this letter, we come to find out how he learned all of these things about this church and why it was that he was thankful. It says here in verse 7, and you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who has also declared to us your love in the Spirit. How did Paul find out about from Epaphras? Epaphras, who visited Paul in prison, probably the leader of this fellowship, came and told Paul all the great things that God was doing in Colossae that Paul had just mentioned. He was the informant of good things that God was doing in the lives of the fellowship. Sometimes we only hear terrible things. Oh, did you hear about what what's her name did? Did you hear about that? No, I didn't. Oh, you should, we gotta pray. Okay, does she know you're telling me this? Probably not. Can I quote you? No, you shouldn't. Never mind. I mean, what about the good things that God's doing? Did you hear what so-and-so told me? He shared the gospel at a school and like somebody got saved. Can you believe that? That is great news. That's what Epaphras does. Paul, let me tell you what's happening in our church. I love to have the opportunity from time to time to go and share the word amidst other congregations and seek to be an encouragement to other brothers and sisters when the Lord allows my schedule to do so. And I love to talk about and share with. And somebody asked me, hey, what's God doing at Calvary Chapel? Well, let me tell you what God's doing. It's really encouraging to see what God's, and I get to talk about the fruit of the gospel and your lives here and how God is using you and what he's doing and marriages being restored and people, but just the things that you get to share. And just, I find it to be so uplifting to be a bearer of good tidings, the wonderful things that God is doing, a blessing. And then in verse 9, having been thankful for what God was doing in the church there in Colossae, Paul now begins to share with the congregation what he is praying for. Because he wasn't just thankful for them, but he was also praying for them. And it says here in verse 9, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us to be partakers of his inheritance in saints in the light. Hey, listen, if you say, Pastor John, how can I pray for you? Could you pray this for me? I'll take this prayer. Just pray this one for me. Just read through it. Add me to this one. And if you want me to pray for you, I'll pray for you. This is a powerful prayer. Paul says, this is what I'm praying for you. I've received this amazing report. And this is, first of all, what I'm praying. I'm praying that you would be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. How many times have you ever said, man, God, what's your will? I can tell you, I can't even count how many times people have asked me, what's God's will for my life? Do you know? I don't know. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray that you be filled with the knowledge of God's will and all wisdom and understanding. What a great prayer to pray for anybody. To be in the center of God's will, to know what God's will is for your life. Paul says, this is what I'm praying for you. What a great request. It's also worth noting that the two words that Paul uses in his request are words that many of the false teachers, and we'll talk more about them later on, they were the Gnostics, teaching Gnosticism, means to know, we know something you don't know. So sad. You know, maybe you could, you probably couldn't know, but we know, but you don't. You got to be, you don't have it. This is the attitude of the Gnostic. It's deeper than that, but we'll get into it. But that's what it means, to know, to be a Gnostic. And the words that they were using, they claim to have special wisdom. And by the way, the word is Sophia. Wonderful. A special knowledge that only a few intellectual giants have. Not you, us. We know, but you don't. You couldn't comprehend it. Only the deep thinkers, like us, understand these things. And then they would not only use the word wisdom, which was Sophia, but they would also use understanding. Sunesis is the word, which means a special intellectual ability that is limited, again, to a select few, not available to all. These were the words that they were using. They had stolen the believers' words. Words of the Bible, words like wisdom and understanding. They had taken them and twisted them to mean something else. Does it ever bother you that there are certain things that were ours, they still are, in the Bible that people have taken and used for themselves? Put on a flag perhaps, many colors. It bothers me. I'm just saying. You know what that rainbow was for? That was a promise from God. How like the enemy to take something that was meant to be a promise from God and use it for what it's being used for. I don't hate those that do that. I just realize who's behind it. Just taking those things that were, and you know, misusing them. Not even knowing, do you know what that's for? Do you know where that started? Do you know where the first one was? It was after God judged the world. And the rainbow was put in the sky to say that God wasn't gonna judge the world in that way again. But there is another judgment coming. I mean, it's just interesting to me. Another thing that I have seen robbed by way of words that have been taken. Here's a word, meditation. David talks about, I'm going to meditate on the words of the Lord. I'm going to think about it. I'm going to meditate. And suddenly we strip, meditation. What are you talking about? I don't know. The Psalms. I mean, I'm just reading this, but they've taken it. It means something strange and painful, depending on the position that you're in and the words that you chant. I mean, these are painful things. You stripped it from us, but we know what it means. I mean, these are the things that I've just seen that. And that's basically what happened here. They took wisdom and understanding and applied it to Gnosticism and says, you guys don't have it. And so interesting, Paul uses those exact same words that they were using and says, this is what I'm praying for you, that you would have wisdom. You know the one I'm talking about. And real understanding, not what they're talking about. That's what Paul's saying. These words were so common among his opponents who were false teachers, he turns the meaning of the words against them.
They were claiming to have wisdom and understanding. And Paul, in essence, says, wisdom they claim to have, this understanding they say they've grasped, they don't have it. Because true wisdom and understanding can only come by way of the Holy Spirit, and it is the Spirit who alone knows the deep things of God. God reveals himself to man by the Spirit of God through the Word of God, furthermore, through the person of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Therefore, within his opening prayer, he said, I want you to have real wisdom, real understanding, not this false sense of intellectualism or logical rationale apart from divine instruction of the Spirit of God. And then he also prayed not only that they would have this wisdom and they would also have this understanding, but he also prayed in verse 10 that they would walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. That is, that their faith would be practically lived out. I'm praying that you would walk worthy. In another place in Scripture, Paul said, walk worthy of the calling with which you have received. Walk worthy of the gospel. That when it talks about walking, it just means your manner of living. How you live would be fully pleasing to the Lord. That's a good prayer. I'm praying that you would have wisdom of God's will, and I'm also praying that you would live a life that was pleasing to the Lord. I want to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. Do you desire to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord? Do you know what is pleasing to the Lord? Paul said, that's what I'm praying for you, that you would live a life that was worthy, pleasing the Lord in how you live. And he adds to that, that you would be fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. I want to pray that you just keep on growing, that you be fruitful. To be fruitful means that you are flourishing in the Spirit. That is, like, there's just spiritual fruit coming forth from your life. In other words, it's an indication that you're growing. Jesus said, you will know them by their fruits. If a person is abiding, John 15 says, then the spiritual fruit is going to flow forth from their life. Paul's saying, I just want to see that spiritual fruit continuing to flow out of your life. I want to see you keep growing. I want to see you increase. These are all words that have to do with not becoming stagnant and going backwards and be lying dormant. It has everything to do with growing and expanding and continuing to grow. Folks, listen, I don't think we should ever be settled with where we are with the Lord. I mean, I'm settled with the Lord, but I'm not settled with me. There is so much room for me to grow. There's so much more that God needs to do in my life, things in my life that continually need to be conformed to the image of Christ, areas that I need to grow in, things I need to expand in. I want to become more fruitful. I want to be pleasing to the Lord. I want to grow in the knowledge of who he is. I haven't arrived. Paul said to the Philippians, I haven't arrived. It's not like you just get to this place and, yep, read this thing. Great book. Got it totally figured out. You know, I mean, I just nailed it. I know all the books of the Bible in order, and I know a little bit of Greek and Hebrew. Shalom. I mean, that's okay, great. Is that it? You're done? You're finished? You know everything you need to know? Are you told? No, we want to keep on growing. And so that's what Paul's praying. I want your Christian life to be practically lived out. And Paul believed that knowledge, doctrinal knowledge, and a life lived out, listen, these weren't separate things. These were two things that went together. What you think affects how you live. What you believe affects how you live. They go together. Sometimes we want to compartmentalize it or say, well, of course I believe that. Of course I don't live that way, but I do believe that. Well, that's popular today. Well, of course I don't think that's right, but I'm not going to judge them. Okay. Do you disagree? Well, I don't want to be. Come on. Listen, what we believe and how we live, it goes together. What you believe affects how you live. What I believe affects the way that I live. And so Paul says, I'm praying that you would just keep on increasing, keep on being fruitful. And he prays, verse 11, that they would be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy. What a great prayer, that they would be strengthened in their walk with the Lord. Do you ever find yourself needing to be strengthened in your walk with the Lord? Yes, quite frequently, daily, in fact. And the wonderful news is the strength that he's praying for, it's according to his glorious power. Remember in writing to the Ephesians, Paul said, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. The strength of the Lord. It's not my strength. My strength taps out. I mean, soon, quickly, in the midst of spiritual warfare. And yet there is a supply of power. It's his. Do you think, I mean, God is all powerful. We've established the fact that he is omnipotent. He is all powerful. And Paul's saying, what I'm praying for you as a believer, you tap in to the all powerful God and his strength would supply you. That's a great prayer. That's the kind of power that never runs out. I mean, there's no limit to that kind of power. How does a Christian person continue to make it through trials? How does a Christian person stand up to temptation? How does a Christian person endure affliction? How does a Christian? Because there is a power supply that's from heaven that's given to us. Paul says, I'm praying you'd be strengthened. Maybe tonight you came in here. I am so weak. I pray you just come in here and just plug in, man, and just suddenly just feel the power of the Holy Spirit. Just walk out of here. I feel better. Truthfully, just being with God's people, I mean, on a weekly basis, I find myself strengthened in my faith. I find myself encouraged in my walk with the Lord. I find myself tapping into something that I know is not in me. It's not in me. It's in him. And Paul also prayed that they would have patience and long-suffering. Notice patience. Notice these things. Patience and long-suffering with joy. It's one thing to have patience. It's another thing to have long suffering. But to have both of those with joy? Aren't you frustrated? No. Seems like you're pretty long suffering. I know. It's amazing. Why? I don't know. Must be a fruit of the Spirit. There's a joy in being patient. I'm just going to, you know what? I can't change it. I'm going to trust the Lord and he's got strength that I don't. He's going to give it to me. I just trust him. I have joy in long suffering and in patience. Boy, this is something, if you're a parent tonight, this is something that we need. Patience and long suffering. With joy and strength from heaven. These are things that are so, you need this. If you're married tonight, you probably need this too. This is going on. And then he says in verse 12, we're almost through, giving thanks to the Father. Oh, guys, please look at this. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. He's qualified us for what? To be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Honestly, we're gonna have to come back to this because this is good. I mean, all of it is, but right here, this is like 5 minutes left. I cannot do this justice. But let's just end on this note tonight. He has qualified you. I don't qualify for salvation. You know, if you're gonna qualify for something, you have to meet the qualifications. Let's see, perfect. Nope, okay, you don't qualify. You're out of here. You're not saved. But wait, I've done some good works. Nope, not one of the qualifications. Your good works are not good enough. You're not qualified. But here's the great news. I can't believe it. The Father has qualified us.
Isn't that good news? Though we don't qualify on our own, God the Father has qualified us through the sacrificial death of his Son on the cross. You've been listening to A Daily Walk with Pastor John Randall. We've been in the book of Colossians. You can listen to the study again at adailywalk.org and request the CD at 877-242-0828. You might also inquire about receiving the entire series. More and more people these days are accessing our teachings through our app. It's available for Android and iPhone users. Look for us on your favorite platform by searching for CCSJC. If you've watched our services online, you've probably noticed Pastor John sporting some really cool t-shirts. We'd like to offer you one today that features the phrase, "Courage is contagious." It's a great way to encourage people to be courageous in these difficult times. You can order that today online at adailywalk.org or call 877 242-0828. It's just $15. And during these critical summer months, would you please keep us in your prayers? And as the Lord leads, we'd also very much appreciate you standing with us with either a one-time gift or monthly support. Your partnership is important right now as people really need to hear the good news in a world full of bad news. Again, visit us at adailywalk.org to give online or call 877-242-0828. Well, just as the Apostle Paul made it a priority to pray for the church at Colossae, we share his heart and want to pray for you too. Please share your prayer requests when you stop by adailywalk.org. There's more to come in Pastor John Randall's study of Colossians. Set aside another half hour to join us tomorrow for A Daily Walk, where you never have to walk alone.